In Matthew chapter 3, we read about the baptism of Jesus. And it says that after he came up out of the water, there was this manifestation of God's Spirit like a dove descending on him and remaining. And then a voice from heaven said, let me read it. This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy. Then immediately Jesus is led by the Spirit out into the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, and there are temptations. And if you look carefully, you'll notice that the attack, the satanic attack on Jesus' mind in the time where he is physically weak and emotionally vulnerable, the attack is not just, hey, do a thing that's wrong. It's much, much deeper than that. It's an attack on his identity. It's an attack on the identity that's just been proclaimed over him by the only one who really knows who he is. At one point, Jesus said, no one knows the Son except the Father. You think that's true of you? I do. I think no one knows who you really are but your Father in heaven. But all your life, you've been desperately seeking to find out who you are from the people around you.
That's right. Amen.
And from the things you achieve or have. And I think every temptation to sin is rooted in that vulnerability. If you are the Son of God, do this. Everything's an attack on the identity. And Jesus stays connected. I've said this in here so many times, but years ago my friend Greg said, in answer to my question, Greg, how can I be a better dad? I want to be a better father. And Greg said, Tim, you really only have one main job. And I'm like, all ears, waiting for the advice, waiting for the strategy, waiting for the protocols, waiting for the principles. Can you imagine if Jesus went down to the waters of baptism, what would you think? What do I most need to hear from God? Most of us would say, what to do? Wouldn't we? Tell me what to do. I just need to know what to do.
Amen.
And that's not what the Father's wanting to talk about, because he knows that what we think we need isn't really what we need.
That's right.
And he gives Jesus a who you are to me. Because once you know whose you are, then you finally know who you are. And if you know who you are, you finally know why you're here. And you have a place to stand in the midst of a world gone completely berserk, trying to find out who they are, prove to somebody that I am wanted and valuable and important and loved. We are desperate for love. Deeply desperate. Every heart you've ever met is deeply desperate for love, for significance, to know I matter. And not just I matter to somebody.
Amen.
And not just somebody, somebody important. So my friend Greg says, Tim, you only have one most important job as a dad. And I'm like, yeah, you know, got my phone out, ready to write down whatever this important piece of advice is gonna be that I can do. And he says, you got one job. Your main job as a dad is to look upon your children with delight.
Amen. Amen.
When Jesus connects us back to the Father, because he didn't come so we could go to heaven, he came so we could go to the Father. get reconnected to our Father, and heaven's included, but it's a bonus. It's not the goal. The Father's the goal. He reconnects us to the delight of the Father. He reconnects us to the love that is our home. He reconnects us to our truth, to the deepest truth about us. We've been taught, even by people teaching Bible, that the deepest truth about us is that we're sinners. Well, yeah, we are. We became sinners, but that's not the deepest truth about us. The deepest truth about us is that we are the sons and daughters of the living God. We've been bought with a high price. And now that we've been bought with a high price, why would we sell cheap? Why would we sell cheap what he paid such a high price for? If I'm worth the blood of Jesus, why would I sell cheap? Unless I don't know who I am, unless I forget, unless I don't believe my Father's voice. And he says things to me like, Tim, no matter what you see, hear, think, or feel, don't believe it. Believe, oh, I'm going to silence my notifications for a second.
Excuse me for a moment.
There's only one person that can get through my do not disturbs. And it's my wife. And she just texted me. She's the only one who can get through. Like, you know what I mean? What was I just saying? I'm sorry, what day is it? Yeah, but that was before, and then I was making another point. Yeah, but that was before, and there was something else. That's like 30 seconds behind people. Come on. Why would you sell cheap what he bought with such a high price? And blah, 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 ping. I don't know. I don't remember. I lost it. Well, I'll just keep going. Yeah, why would you sell cheap what he bought with such a high price? I'll skip to another story. I was saying, no matter what you see, hear, think, or feel, don't believe it. You know what he said next? No matter what you see, hear, think, or feel, don't believe it. Believe what I have told you. Storms are coming, Tim. You're going to have to walk by faith, not by sight. In the garden, the only reason that the serpent was able to trick Eve is because she didn't trust her Father's love.
Amen.
And that sounds like I've heard it framed as, oh, that's cosmic treason. That's cosmic rebellion. And now God will kill us all. He will murder his son. Nope. He will murder, I love you. But not now. He will murder his son in order that he could tolerate being around you anymore because he's furious with you. And I'm like, that's different than the actual story in Genesis where he shows up exactly on schedule and clothes their shame and asks these important questions. Questions like, where are you? That's a question to sit with and think about. Not with condemnation, not with shame, not with guilt, with genuine reflection. Adam, where are you? And I'll bet you, most of us say, I don't know. I don't even want to think about it and just push ahead. Because life's going on and there's bills to pay and there's people to please and there's stuff that needs doing. So I'll just not worry about where I am. Where are you? And usually the answer is, I'm hiding. And usually the answer is, I'm covering. I'm just managing. And he says, that's not good enough for my kids. Don't hide. Come to me. Come to me. I always knew this about you. You're just the one shocked. I'm not shocked. Who told you were naked? Notice that's the second question. Who told you were naked? Translation, it wasn't me. I'm not the one pointing out to you your imperfections and flaws. You're going to be aware of them, but I'm not the one saying, you are not enough away from me. That's another voice. The Father will point out what I did. But he will never attach it in a shame identity to who I am. Guys, this is so deep in me that the other day, we were at Home Depot. And people were just shoving their carts willy-nilly around that receptacle area. And I looked at that and I said, look at all these selfish, and then I named them something mean. Notice how I didn't say, look at these people who did a selfish thing and who haven't been taught. Look at these people who are operating in a wrong mindset. I didn't say, look at these people who are behaving incorrectly. I took it and I put it straight on their identity. Because it's so deep in how I've been formed and trained. Notice in every difficult conversation you've ever had with a close loved one, the difficult conversations, you know what I'm talking about, where you're amped up and offended and angry and getting hurt. What's really going on, not usually in the conversation out here with words, but deep in the heart of both parties, is you're feeling attacked as who you are, not what you did. You're not able to hear what they're really disclosing about their hurts and saying, take better care of my heart. You're feeling attacked and judged for who you are. And if you're not careful, and if you're like me, and you are a naturally judgmental person, anyone else in the room? Recovering Pharisee?
I'm better than those kinds of people. I take my cart back.
One time there was a guy who was eating a sucker outside a Food Lion, and he ripped the wrapper off, put it in his face. First of all, I was judging him for eating a sucker because that's just like poison for your teeth. You want any teeth? If you want teeth, why are you eating a sucker? So I just judge anyone who eats a sucker, period, in their life. That's first of all. Sorry, judgment deluxe over here. And people who don't eat enough protein either. Look at that salad, doesn't even have protein in it. What are you trying to do? Okay, let's move on. Dude ripped a sucker wrapper off, threw it on the ground, and just stood there against the wall. You know what I did? I took one look. Without any thought, guys, with no forethought. What I do without forethought reflects on who I am. Like my operating system. No thought. Walking in, I see trash thrown on the ground in front of me. I make a beeline. No hesitation. You know how I walk. This is me. I don't like when people think slow, talk slow, drive slow, move slow. You act like you don't want to go wherever it is you're going. I don't understand that. Right? So I walk straight over. And I look at him. And I put it right in the trash. Just drop it and go in. He took off cussing me left and right. You blankety blank, son of a blank, 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 blankety blank, blankety blank. I heard his voice fade out as I went into Food Lion. He was still going when I... The whole time I was shopping, I was thinking, is he waiting out there for me? I think I could take him. Wouldn't be a good like news article. Local pastor beats up homeless kid. And I thought, why is he so mad? All I did was pick up the trash. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, no, I didn't. I didn't just pick up the trash. I didn't just pick up the trash. Why was he cussing at me, you guys? What was he feeling? He was feeling judged. Do you know why he was feeling judged? Because I was judging him. You know what? He threw a piece of trash on the ground. I threw him on the ground like a piece of trash.
Who sinned more?
You're dang right I did. And I did it with no thought, just instantly. He did a wrong thing. I did a worse wrong thing. Listen. I reflected on it, and I repented of it, and if next time I went back, he'd have been there, I would have apologized to him about it, but I haven't seen him since. In all the conversations in your life where you freak out, it's usually an identity crisis going on inside of you, and it's not always because the other person is saying that. Some of us have such deep-seated wounds. deep-seated identity wounds. We've been betrayed a certain way. We've been wronged a certain way. Or we've always just believed a certain thing. And then when life comes along and bumps us in that channel of woundedness, then all of the associated hurt from the past comes jumping out in that moment, and we think that the person who's our trigger is really doing such a big thing as we feel. Because you know what we do with our feelings? We believe them.
Yep, we do.
And you go, what does this have to do with Jesus' baptism and temptation? Everything. Because these are opportunities for us to go, wait a minute, what's going on in my identity? What's going on? And who, where do I stand? Who am I and whose am I? How do I function? And guys, I think the deeper we go with the Lord, the deeper we go in God, the less religious we get, the less proud we get, the more humble we get, the more merciful we get, the less threatened we feel by other people's sins. And the more we cry for people instead of because of them.
Yeah.
And the more we go, you know what? I now am learning who I am. And probably if they knew who they were, they wouldn't be doing this. Isn't it interesting? Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them. Why?
They don't know where they're going.
They don't have a clue. We don't know why we do what we do. We don't know where we are. We don't know whose we are. We don't know who we are. And we don't know why we're here. We don't know what we're doing. And there's only one person who can really tell us. You know this, Kate. You've been through this cycle. And you came out the other side able to love and do things that I can't hardly believe a human could do. You're a burning bush. And that's the Father. Are you guys hearing what I'm trying to say today? See, we took communion this morning. And in the communion, Jesus takes the bread. He blesses it. He breaks it. And then he gives it. And do you know what? That bread is us. We're the body. We are taken. We are chosen. We are chosen. We are blessed. You're mine. I love you. I delight in you. I take pleasure in you. Guys, take time to commune with that truth. It's the antidote to sin. Trying not to sin is a guarantee to sin more. If I say don't think of a purple elephant, y'all just did. And if all you know is rules, I'm going to not drink today. I'm not going to do the bad thing today. I'm not going to gamble today. I'm not going to lust today. I'm not going to lose my temper today. I guarantee you, you'll not get better at those things. And if you do, you'll take pride in it. And you'll post it on Facebook. Day 47 of my sobriety. Why are you keeping count? Why is that your identity? Why are you still identified by what you used to do? Instead of who you have become. The antidote to sin is not try not to sin. The antidote, and that's a short-term strategy and a necessary one. So don't hear me saying the wrong thing. It's a short-term strategy and sometimes a necessary one. But the long-term strategy is fall in love with Jesus. How do you fall in love with Jesus? You receive his love. This week I've been doing a totally different prayer tool. You know, David says his soul within him is like a child that's like with a weaned mother that he's learned how to attend to his soul's needs without being controlled by his soul. And some of us don't know how to attend to our soul. All we know how to do is shove it down and tell it doesn't matter because Jesus matters and self-denial is what the gospel's all about. You shut up, soul, your needs don't matter. I'm surrendered. I give the Lord control. Well, too bad, that's never going to work because he doesn't want control. He's never wanted control. He's the least controlling person I've ever met, and he won't control you. Demons might try, but he won't. He wants friends. He wants voluntary, free, joyful partnership. He doesn't even want your obedience nearly as much as he wants your friendship and delight. In other words, he doesn't just want obedience, he wants love. It's like if I tell my wife, can you kiss me? And she says, do I have to? And then when we do it, I can tell she doesn't mean it. That's not the kind of kiss I'm after. Yeah, you have to kiss me and you have to want to. Look, the Lord says this, he says, these people honor me with their lips. They honor me with their lips on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday, they have other lovers. On Monday through Saturday, what they actually turn to manage their fears, their hopes, their needs for love, they turn to Egypt, they turn to Assyria, they turn to Molech, they turn to Baal, they turn to screens, they turn to boys, they turn to social media, they turn to achievement, they turn to money, they turn to distractions and comforts, idols for their real world needs. But on Sunday they sing about a Jesus whose love is real and whose Father satisfies. And all week long they turn away from it and they don't even notice they're doing it. They don't even feel bad about doing it because they don't recognize it's what they're doing. And then they're starved and broken and they don't understand why Christianity doesn't work. And all they have as Christianity is beliefs and rules. And all Christianity really is love and intimacy. That's all it is love and intimacy. You can hear his voice. He will lead you. But it's not just about being led by the Lord. It's about being loved by the Lord. And every test in your life is a trial that tests your faith. You know what that means? Does he really love me? Is he really good? Can I really trust him? Is he really with me? Is he really for me? And this last week, I started a new prayer technique where I said, okay, Lord, I checked on my soul. I don't know if you've ever done that. David checks on his soul. He talks to his soul. He reasons with his soul. He argues with his soul. Some of us know how to practice listening prayer where we say, Father, what do you think about this? But there's a different form of listening where you're actually listening down, not just up. So I checked on my soul this week and he was screaming uncontrollably, inconsolably, and wouldn't stop screaming. I was doing fine on the surface, driving in the van. I'm fine. But when I checked on him, the little boy inside of me, he was screaming. So I said, oh dear, going to have to do some heart work tomorrow. So the next morning on my run, because I run, you know what I'm doing, you know how, you know me. On my run, I said, okay, Jesus. And I took Jesus by the hand and I led him over to the little boy who tends to always be hanging out in a forest. I'm pretty sure it's the Garden of Eden. And he's almost always sitting on the ground under a shade tree with his back leaned up against the tree. And there he was screaming, and I led Jesus over to him. Jesus got down, put his arm around him, and he didn't say anything. He just held the boy and cried with him. Just cried. Just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And then he laid the boy out on the ground and put him almost in like a sleep and started to breathe into him the breath of life that he breathed into Adam. Like the dust that you once held, in a garden where you knelt, pull me up against your face again, till the breath of your hope fills the depths of my soul, and all I know is I've been found by love. And he just breathed the breath of life. Guys, sin unmakes us. I told Carrie, I feel like I've been unmade. Like something unmade me. And so he put me back into the original state, laying on the ground with the form of a man, but not with the whole soul of a man. And he breathed that same breath that made me originally. And I'm running, and I'm breathing. Yeah. And I hear him say, live, live, live. That was day one. Next day, I check on the boy again while I'm running. I'm talking, I'm praying. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Makes me righteous and holy and spotless in your eyes. I thank you for my life. And you know how I pray. And then after I do all that, I go, better check in with the boy, see how he's doing. Because fighting Tim is fighting. But what about the boy? What about the soul? It's so easy to say, shut up, take it, handle it, deal with it. Surrender. You wouldn't be hurting if you wouldn't be selfish. If you love not your own life, you wouldn't even be hurting. All you'd care about is being love. And the Lord says, Tim, what about cast all your cares on me because I care for you? Tim, Tim. And he just lists all these passages that show me, oh, he wants to take care of my heart. He wants to take really good care of my heart. I viewed those as rules to live by. They were invitations to authentic communion. He wants my, and he starts talking to me about how I want your heart. I want intimacy. The way that you like want so much closeness with Carrie, I want so much closeness with you. There's a bond that you can have with me. He said, you're just scratching the surface. You've been the, he wants your heart guy since you were 19. But Tim, I'm telling you, you're scratching on the surface of what's available in me, just like your scientists are just scratching on the surface of the knowledge about the universe. And they think they know, and they don't hardly know anything. And there's so much more for them to know about that. And there's so much deeper for you to go in me. You're scratching on the surface. I want to love you. I want to know you. There's so much intimacy available. And I'm like, okay, okay. And I check on the little boy. He's not screaming today. He was sad and he was crying. So Jesus got down and put his arm around him and said, I never left you. Remember how I told you I would never leave you? I would never forsake you. I never did. And I'm here with you now. And in terms of your future, you're scared. Will I have the strength to do what's required? Will I be able to handle it? You won't have to handle it because I'll be with you. We'll handle it together. I value you. I want you. I'm not going anywhere. I'll never leave you. I'm right here. I'm right here. You're going to make it. You're okay. You're okay. I love you. I love you. And Carrie said, this has been one of your, like, the best days in a while. And I'm like, yeah, I know. You think it has anything to do with the stuff I'm doing with Jesus and the little boy inside of me? And then I said, Carrie, you know what's weird? And I broke down crying and I said, I love him. And I said, that's weird, because if you said, Tim, do you love yourself? I'd be like, that's a weird question. Shut up and go away. Let's talk about sports. But if you ask me if I love him, that little boy inside of me, see, he's crazy. Like, when I'm arguing, like, say, let's say Carrie and I are in an argument, which never happens, guys. I'm just making up a theoretical situation. I go into lawyer mode when I'm hurt, which means I tuck the little boy who's hurt away, and I put him like behind protective glass, and a lawyer comes out to protect me. And that lawyer tries to attack and manipulate, judge, and control her to get her to give me what the little boy needs. Instead of saying, okay, lawyer's not helpful, let's check on the little boy. And so I check on the little boy, and he says, do you want me? Are we okay? And I go, holy smokes, that would actually work better. Like, that doesn't hackle her up. Then she leans in and goes, oh, yes. Am I a burden to you? No. Why do you feel like that? Because I'm so moody.
So moody.
I am, Bunny. Frickin' moody. I met this young lady at the woods where I run. One day, she was just this week, she was waiting for me. She said, I was waiting to talk to you. I said, oh yeah? She said, I've been seeing you run here. You've been an inspiration to me. You're just out here enjoying everything. So inspiring. I'm starting to run now because of you. I said, oh, you think I'm out here enjoying? I said, let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm desperate in need of my Father, and I'm out here in Genesis 2 in the Garden of Eden, and he and I are communing. Because I can't live without him. And I need to hear his voice, and I need to unpack my heart. And I just went off. And we started talking. She started telling me about her deceased father and her deceased mother. And I said, how can I pray for you? And she said, no one's ever asked me that in my life. And then I prayed for her. And then a couple days later, I'm out, and I show up, and she's there again. I got her picture. I gave her my contact information on the second day. Well, actually, I said, you're beautiful. And she said, you have such pretty eyes. And I said, I'm not flirting. And she said, neither am I. The second day, I'm out on my run, and I start just praying and talking to the Father, and all of a sudden, I'm like, if she's there when I get back, if she's there, I'll know she's waiting on me, because she was waiting on me before. Sure enough, she's waiting on me, and I was like, you want the sermon of the day? She goes, yes. And I start telling her all the stuff I'm telling you right now about Jesus hearing the Father's voice and how once we know who we are, then whose we are, then we finally know who we are, and finally, for the first time, we know why we're here. We have a stable place to stand. Like I said the other day, I'm hanging on by a thread, Jesus. And he said, no, you're not. You're standing on solid rock. And I left her with this. He delights in you. He delights in you. He treasures you.
Amen.
And I said, anything I can pray for you today? And she said, you just did. Isn't that cool? And she thought I was out there having a great time enjoying nature. But I was. But no. I just sense people come over to our house and we're like, why do you come over to our house? It's like never perfectly clean and it seems kind of chaotic around there. And somebody said, I feel peace here. And we were like, Karen and I were like to each other, like, peace? Well then. Weird. Are you guys hearing what I'm trying to say today? The Father delights in you. That's the foundation of who you are. It's the foundation of your life. My Father delights in me. I didn't earn it. Who could earn such a love? Think about that. Who could earn that kind of love? You think you'll get there? You think you'll finally earn it to where he says, I didn't feel like loving her today, but she earned it. You just are loved before you did anything to earn it. After you did a bunch of stuff to unearn it, you're still loved. He's not fooled about who I am because he's not like me judging people for not putting their carts back and dropping litter on the ground or being mean or even walking away and betraying him in the most deep ways doesn't blind him to who I am. Doesn't blind him to who you are. He's not changing. Listen.
Is this dying?
Check, check. Listen, he says, I don't delight in the death of any sinner, right? Any sinner. I don't delight in the death of any sinner. I want everyone to come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. You know what that tells me? He's not fooled about anyone. Even the people we want him to take out because we think of them as irredeemably wicked. He says, if they'll just turn, that's all. Just turn. Just stop. Just turn. Just wish I didn't and turn toward home. Shoom! I'll meet them where they are. What did we learn last week from Jonah? God is even in hell when we cry out. Even the hell of our making, like Jonah. If we'll just cry out to the Lord. The cords of death entangled me. Your waves and breakers have crashed over me. I said, I'm finished. And then a huge beast swallowed me up. I said, I'm a goner. But out of the belly of that destroying beast, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard and answered my cry. Is that not your story? Go ahead and stand. Prayer team can come on up. Jonathan, we got to replace these two bulbs. Something in the electrical. Jacob, we got a problem in the electrical.
Electrical wiring.
All right, then put the old bulbs back in.
They're harmless.
Sorry to distract with my random thoughts. What do you guys got?
I got some. So this morning, the Lord gave me two words, and one of them is, He wants to restore 100-fold of anything that the enemy has stolen from you. He wants to give it back 100-fold. And anybody that's been discouraged, I want to pray for hope.
That was pretty much hope.
Same. Hope. Danielle, hope. Linda looks like she's got a Bible up here and everything.
Well, in case I forget, this is a hard word. But I know there's at least one person in here. Like, I can feel it. I felt it all during worship. It started last night. And I asked the Holy Spirit, like, show me. And what I sense is, you don't want to end your life. But there is so much torment that's going on. You can't see a way out. Like, you are in so much darkness, and it's not your fault. I feel like that's the one thing that Jesus wants you to know is this is not your fault. Sometimes you feel like you can't even breathe. But there is freedom today. I'm going to be really, really real with you. He showed me a noose, and he showed me a needle going into an arm. And I don't think I don't think you want to do that. I really don't. But I think that the torment has been so bad and so hard that you don't think there's any other way out, but God brought you here today. You're here for a reason. You do not have to leave in that same torment that you've been feeling. Like you're ready to shut down. You've been numb for so long. And if it's not you, or maybe I'm sensing it's somebody you know and you want to come up and you want to get prayer for them, then you come up. Rusty and I are up here. The whole prayer team's up here. We don't want you to leave feeling what you're feeling. It is the enemy. It is not Jesus. Right. Now, just, yeah, that's. Yep.
Oh, yeah, I'll pray with anyone for if they feel oppressed.
Okay.
Spirit of oppression.
What you got, buddy?
What's your favorite color?
Purple.
Okay.
This guy. Pray with me, guys. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that when we go to you, and sometimes we just want, what do I do next, or make the pain go, or help me, or whatever it is. Sometimes we're not even thinking about looking you in the eyes. Sometimes we're not even thinking about a love encounter with you. We're just thinking about what we think we need next. And so I'm asking, God, in Jesus' name, that you would kind of change the way our prayer life operates. That you would slow us down and make it more simple, make it more like the big questions. Who am I to you, God? Do you want me? Are you for me? Who am I to you? Who are you for me? The big questions, the relationship questions, not just the practical stuff of life questions. We'll pray about that too, because that matters and you want to hear it and you want to help. But God, I'm asking that you deepen our intimacy with you. And I ask for love encounters for everyone here who goes after you. Everyone who steps in, love encounters. Everyone who steps in, hear the Father's voice as clear as I do. I got a lot of issues, but man, do I hear God's voice. And so I ask that everyone under the hearing of my prayer right now, in Jesus' name, would hear the Father's voice clear, clearly, 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 clearly. Upgrade us, God. You told me more is available. I believe you. You told me closeness with you, friendship with you, stability in you, that we can think your thoughts and feel what you feel and see what you see when we look at others. But it starts with us receiving that love for us, that we'll never rise above the level of our ability to receive your love. Our fruit will never rise above the level of our capacity to receive, believe, and rely on your love. And that's your work in us, but it's our work too. Lift us up, God. Lift us up. Come forward if you want. I'm going to make my way around the room.
If you got a God-sized problem, he can solve it. Yeah. There's just some problems only God can fix.